Greta Thunberg, you remember her. She's the how dare you go. How dare you? She's a cretinous little dweeb with the brains of a kumquat. She always was, but we weren't allowed to say it because she wasn't 18. She was a child. You can't attack the child. Well, she's now been 18 for 3 years, so we can totally say it. She was trotted out for years as some sort of moral exemplar because she was under 18 and she mouthed nasty little platitudes about how her elders had ruined the world. We would hold you accountable. How dare you? She was treated as a political Joan of Arc. She said, how dare you? The whole world trembled at her supposed moral superiority as she called for the impoverishment of nearly all of humanity in the name of the earth becoming incrementally warmer, slightly less quickly, supposedly. In reality, Greta Thunberg was always a child-sized Trojan horse for anti-Western radicalism, socialism, deindustrialization. Well, now the mask is off, and it's pretty instructive. So yesterday, Greta Thunberg showed up at a protest in Malmö, Sweden. What exactly was being protested? The thing that was being protested was a singer for the Eurovision contest from Israel. That singer's name is Eden Golan. Young woman, younger than Greta Thunberg, who was literally just singing a song in a dumb contest that they hold in Europe that's kind of like American Idol every year. And this drew thousands of people to protest, including Greta, who showed up wearing a keffiyeh, which is a symbol of solidarity with terrorism. So she showed up and she then explained how she was standing against destruction of the environment and also the Jews. Here we go.
They should be everywhere. And once again, young people are leading the way, showing the world how we should react to this.
Young people, we're the heroes. The heroes. I want it now. I want the destruction of Western civilization now, mommy. So, of course, Greta Thunberg was there because this is the coalition. It's an army of losers, and it's a very large army. Here is some video of what the protests look like outside, again, of Eurovision. Of Eurovision, because an Israeli singer was singing a song. This is what the protest looks like. Look at that. It's like 12,000 people showed up to yell about the Jews because a Jewish singer showed up at an event in Sweden. Well, it's no surprise this is happening in Malmö, which is about 25% Muslim. In fact, if you flash back to about 2022, the Swedish prime minister literally said that Sweden had failed to integrate vast numbers of immigrants it had taken in over the past two decades, leading to parallel societies and gang violence. That's according to Reuters. She said that after violent riots left more than 100 police injured in April of 2022. And that erupted after a Swedish Danish politician burned the Quran at a rally. The prime minister blamed criminals and said both Islamism and right-wing extremism had been allowed to fester in Sweden. She said, segregation has been allowed to go so far that we have parallel societies in Sweden. Well, that's true. Radical Muslims are quite prevalent in Sweden, which is why Jews are not in Malmö. Malmö has become basically a no-go zone for anyone Jewish for a reason. Some of the things that this crowd was chanting, the crowd that Greta Thunberg joined, one of the slogans they were chanting was, Sinwar, we will not let you die. That would be a reference to Yahya Sinwar, who is the head of Hamas. He's the person who planned October 7th and is currently hiding in terror tunnels, allegedly surrounded by 15 hostages in the hopes that that will protect him from death. So these protesters want Sinwar to survive because they're not just anti the war in Gaza or anything like that. They like Hamas. They are in solidarity with Hamas. That is who Greta was marching with. She was marching with people who literally attacked Jews. According to Ynet News, on the Copenhagen train to Malmö, there were no signs of the pro-Palestinian demonstration yet, according to Ziv Avrahami, who's a reporter for Ynet News. He said, I spoke with a Danish couple who lamented the disruption to their annual celebration. Exiting at Malmö Central Station, it resembled Jenin. Jenin is a reference to a Palestinian city that is largely terrorist-run in the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria. Flags were unfurled, elders with determination and children in festive attire, stickers and drums. Locals stood with placards mounted on wooden poles, bearing the inscription on both sides, Boycott Israel. The Swedes were organized. He says, I pulled out my phone, began snapping photos. After a few seconds, a woman around 60, dressed in a keffiyeh pattern dress, her head covered with a Palestinian scarf, her mouth masked with a Palestinian mask, jumped on me and demanded I stop my photography. I said, we live in a democracy and in a public place. She demanded I stop photographing and delete the picture. Her friends surrounded me. She went to call the police. She then approached another officer and called more people from the demonstration, who started photographing me relentlessly. I went inside. Within minutes, she appeared accompanied by 7 or 8 young Muslims with all the accessories. They demanded to see documents and prove that I wasn't Jewish or Israeli. I said I was Jewish and Israeli and I wouldn't give them the IDs. They surrounded me and suddenly a blunt object hit me hard on the head. I crumbled down, put my hands on my head, and just looked for a way to escape. The Swedish officers protected only the perimeter of the occupied square. They did not intervene. I caught a few kicks and punches. I thought either I retaliate and the police see who's returning it, or I let the wave pass. So that's how it was. That is the protest that Greta Thunberg joined. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, once again, PureTalk is investing in their customers without charging you an extra penny. I'm happy to announce PureTalk is now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. As you plan your summer travel, make sure your wireless provider has you covered at home and abroad. PureTalk already puts you on America's most dependable 5G network. Now they're offering coverage in over 50 countries as well. Enjoy the freedom of unlimited talk, text, and ample 5G data for just $20 a month with PureTalk. It's a deal that's hard to beat, costing you less than half of what you'd pay with other networks. Not only is their U.S. customer service team ready to assist you with a seamless switch, they also have fantastic savings on the latest iPhones and Androids. Ready to make that smart switch? Join my cell phone company, PureTalk. Start saving today. Visit puretalk.com/Shapiro to explore their offers. When you make that switch, you'll enjoy an additional 50% off your first month. Don't miss out on the opportunity to save on wireless at home and abroad. Visit puretalk.com/Shapiro. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro today. Again, puretalk.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now and get the best cell phone coverage on the planet for a price that can't be beat. puretalk.com/Shapiro. And of course, it wasn't just the protesters outside. They were also inside. So Eden Golan, who is the Israeli singer, she was doing her song rehearsal. The song is just a song called Hurricane, which is largely about the reaction of Israelis to October 7th. And she was booed inside the hall. The only person who was booed inside the hall, by the way. You can hear them booing this young woman who just happens to be a Jew from Israel. That is the only reason they are booing. Literally the only reason they are booing. In fact, the expectation in these European left-wing centers is so strong. There was one Finnish European singer who did a little dance with Eden Golan behind the scenes. This person's name is Jere Mikhail Puchonen, known by his stage name of Kaharia, who came in second performing for his country in 2023 at Eurovision. And he was filmed dancing with Eden Golan. 3, 2, 1, go. So they danced together. And then the very next thing that happened is that this doofus apologized for ever having danced with this 20-year-old Israeli woman, even though she was singing his song. And they were dancing together. They laugh and they clasp hands in the video. And then he posted on Instagram, quote, "I happened to meet Israel's Eurovision representative today and a video was filmed of us. It was then posted on social media without my permission. Despite my request for removal, it has not been taken down. I would like to clarify and emphasize the video is not a political statement or an endorsement of any kind." Absolute cowardice. You must never acknowledge that you have met a Jew or an Israeli in Malmo, Sweden. You must not. You must never, ever recognize that the Israelis are human and that they ought not be killed en masse. The army of losers is very, very large in the West. It includes drag queens who go on the BBC to explain that they are canceling their Eurovision contest watching in order to demonstrate solidarity with Hamas. Here is a drag queen explaining that he will not be holding any sort of Eurovision watch party because somebody from Israel might be shown.
You're protesting by banning your own event. So what have you done and what do you normally do and how has it changed?
It's been different every year, but I am a huge Eurovision fan. This year I was hosting my own screening event in Dalston, which was going to be 800 people screaming, cheering along at the screen. It was going to be a really great time. I've decided to join the boycott because of Israel's inclusion, and I feel because the EBU has forced my hand, unfortunately, by deciding to keep them in the contest.
Yeah, the European Broadcasting Union. Yeah.
Oh, wow. His hand was forced. His very large man hands were forced right there. Folks, this is the coalition. It is an army of losers, and it's a very serious problem. Global losers fans of Palestinian terrorism who cannot succeed in a meritocracy, who emigrate en masse to Europe, where they form entire population centers that do not participate in the Western system and hate the system in which they are given welfare and given education and in which they are largely unsuccessful. Useless socialists who have performed zero service of public value their entire lives but are very angry at capitalism. People like Greta Thunberg. People who feel marginalized because of their bizarre sexual fetishes and rage against the traditionalist machine. They're all marching together in Malmo against, wait for it, of course, the Juden. Now, the Jews here are really just a stand-in for the West because these anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists believe that the Jews control the West. Their entire theory of the world is predicated on belief, a very evil belief, that failure inherently means victimization and that success inherently means exploitation. And because the Jews are disproportionately successful, this means they are disproportionately exploitative. In the United States, there's an argument made by critical race theorists about white people. That white people built the system for the benefit of whites, which is why whites are so darn successful. The problem, of course, is that there are other groups that are very successful who are not white. Jews, historically not categorized as white, now they've been included in that rubric. So if Jews are disproportionately successful, then they can certainly not be victims. So the argument is that Jews built the system for the benefit of the Jews. So it's perfectly appropriate to beat Jews in the streets or try to mob a Jewish singer on a continent where Jews were slaughtered by the millions a couple of generations ago. After all, the system has to be destroyed. This is an army of losers. Losers of the world unite. That's what you're watching in Malmo. It's what you're watching on America's college campuses. It's what you're watching in large precincts of the Democratic National Committee. It's an army of losers, a coalition of losers who are all getting together in order to tear down the civilization that has given them disproportionate wealth and power for no merit of their own. The people who are sitting on our college campuses right now occupying the college centers while demanding food during a hunger strike, those members of the army of losers are the most privileged people in world history, but they hate the system that has given them the privilege. And they feel morally virtuous for dissociating from that system and ripping at the system. And the Jews are just a convenient excuse. And the same thing is true in Malmo, Sweden. And the same thing is true in London. These people hate the West. The Jews are just the tip of the spear right there. That's just the ugliest manifestation of the hatred for the West. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, an eternal truth. Vegetables are horrifying. They taste bad. Brussels sprouts, for instance, they taste bad. And then they stick with you for literally ever. What are they supposed to be? Like tiny cabbages. They're the worst. Well, I don't have to worry about eating them. Neither do you. With Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature fruits and veggies is the most convenient way to ensure you get your daily intake of fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and veggies into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules are, you know, like fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best each and every day. Balance of Nature helps you do just that. And it's kosher, which means I can use it myself in the protein smoothies so I can keep this rockin' bod going. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Shapiro to get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies, plus an additional $10 off every additional set you buy. That's balanceofnature.com. Promo code Shapiro. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code Shapiro. Now, why Joe Biden has decided to cave to these people is absolutely beyond me, because that's absolutely what he is doing. When he says to Israel, we will deprive you, we will essentially embargo you offensive weaponry in the middle of a war with Hamas, if you dare to go into populated centers, which is literally Hamas's entire strategy, go into populated centers, hide among civilians, and wait for Joe Biden to be a weakling. So far, the strategy is working amazing. The White House clarified yesterday that this wasn't a senior moment for Joe Biden when he went on CNN and declared that they were going to deprive Israel of the offensive weaponry necessary to fight Hamas. In fact, the White House, John Kirby, national security spokesperson, he said that it's the White House's opinion that going into Rafah emboldens Hamas. Now, how you arrive at this logic? The answer is there is no logic. This is a lie. And he knows it's a lie. And Joe Biden knows that this line is a lie. There are only a few reasons why the White House is actually doing this. One is because Joe Biden is just, his brain is no longer there. It was never there, and now it's really no longer there. That's possibility number one, although I don't think that's the reality. Number two, Joe Biden is trying to pander to the army of losers. And number three, Joe Biden actually believes, like the army of losers, that the West is inherently bad and Israel's an outpost of the West is inherently part of some sort of discriminatory, exploitative superstructure that has made the Palestinians disproportionately successful. Now, in reality, the reason that the Palestinian population is disproportionately unsuccessful is because they've decided on a governance structure that is directed at terrorism and murdering Jews. That is the reason. It's been true for literally three generations. You know how you can tell? Because Israeli Arabs, who are ethnically undifferentiatable from Arabs who are living in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, have a much higher income trajectory. Why? Because they live in Israel. It turns out that how you choose to govern yourselves, how you choose to live your lives, has a pretty significant impact on how successful you are in a free market democratic system. But Joe Biden is trying to make excuses now. So here are some of the worst excuse making I've ever heard from John Kirby, who should be ashamed of himself.
Our view is that Rafah operations, certainly any kind of major Rafah ground operation, would actually strengthen Hamas's hands at the negotiating table, not Israel's. That's our view.
Okay, so what is the logic there? So if Israel were to go into Rafah and start killing Hamas members, that would strengthen Hamas's hand? Now, you're going to have to explain that one real slowly, like I'm a child, because that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. That is like suggesting that if America just stopped fighting the Japanese in the middle of World War II, that would have put more pressure on Japan to surrender. That's not how anything works ever. So Kirby tried to spin this one. And, you know, points for effort. Here's what he said, quote, "If I'm Mr. Sinwar and I'm sitting down in my tunnel, I think that's where he is, and I'm seeing innocent people falling victim to major significant combat operations in Rafah, I have less and less incentive to want to come to the negotiating table and deal." What in the actual world is he talking about? So his suggestion is that Yahya Sinwar will want to deal if Israel is nice to the people in Rafah? That then he'll want to make a deal? What, he's operating from an assumption that Yahya Sinwar cares about the people in Rafah? Yahya Sinwar is killing people who are attempting to get humanitarian aid. Yahya Sinwar built an entire 300-mile network of tunnels where all the terrorists are hiding and no civilians are allowed. Yahya Sinwar is attempting to maximize civilian casualties. He wants civilians to die. That is his goal, because then he can wait for John Kirby and Joe Biden to do his dirty work for him. If the idea is that Yahya Sinwar needs an incentive, like this is the, if Yahya Sinwar wanted to prevent civilian casualties before anything started, he could have surrendered October 8th, or better yet, not even have done October 7th. But it turns out that he doesn't give any at all, like nothing. He does not care at all. He cares less, the reverse. He wants Palestinians to die. So what is John Kirby even talking about? He said, "I can cast Israel in the worst possible way because of the way they're behaving. And I can just, well, say, well, clearly they're not interested in a good faith way to get to a ceasefire. Look at what they're doing in Rafah." It just gives him more ammunition for his twisted narrative. No, you know who gives him more ammunition for his twisted narrative? You, because you're backing his twisted narrative. You and Joe Biden are out there saying that Israel is using bombs to kill civilians, when in reality, Israel has the lowest terror to civilian kill ratio of all time in an urban combat situation. The prime minister of Israel yesterday announced that the stats that the IDF has show 14,000 dead terrorists and 16,000 dead civilians. Every one of those dead civilians is a tragedy, and every one of those dead civilians is on Hamas. That is the lowest terrorist to civilian kill ratio in human history in an urban area. Because Hamas is literally embedding in schools and mosques and underneath apartment buildings. According to Kirby, smashing into Rafah will not advance the objective, will not get to the sustainable, enduring defeat of Hamas. Well, I mean, we'll take that with a grain of salt, because Joe Biden literally handed over Afghanistan to the Taliban. Joe Biden has not won a single military victory his entire presidency. What's even more amazing is the line from John Kirby. This is an incredible line. He was asked about the negotiations that are taking place between Hamas and Israel, which have now broken off. Hamas broke off the negotiations because they got what they wanted already. What they got is Israel's chain being held by the United States. What they got is the United States now doing propaganda work on behalf of Hamas by suggesting that Israel is the real danger to peace in the region. So what did Kirby say? Quote, "We believe there's a path forward, but it's going to take some leadership on both sides." On both sides. It's going to take a little bit of moral courage on both sides to finally be able to come across that table and ink this deal. Moral courage on both. So you're literally, literally both sides in this thing. You're talking about a democratic ally of the United States with a unity government, including opponents of the current prime minister. And on the other side, an actual honest to God, evil genocidal terror group holding Americans hostage. And he says, well, they just need to show a little moral courage. If they could just show a little moral courage. There's a cartoon from back, I think, 2014. It is the only cartoon that matters in the last 50 years of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, with the Americans acting as quote-unquote honest broker. And it shows John Kerry, who is then Secretary of State, sitting between Bibi Netanyahu on the one hand and a Palestinian terrorist on the other. And the Palestinian terrorist is saying, we just want to kill the Jews. And John Kerry is saying to the Israelis, can't you just meet them halfway? That is what John Kirby is doing. Moral courage from Hamas? It makes it hard for me to believe that they actually believe this stuff. Because even as stupid as I think many of the members of the State Department are, as truly bereft of knowledge and wisdom as I think many members of the Obama administration are, even despicable people like former Obama officials like Ben Rhodes, I don't think, you know how truly vegetable-like mentally you have to believe that Hamas is going to show moral courage? There was a ceasefire October 6th, and then they murdered 1,200 people, and they're still holding Americans hostage. And John Kirby is calling them for some moral courage. This is the same nonsense they declared about the Taliban. You remember this? When the Taliban were taking over Afghanistan, John Kirby and Joe Biden, they went out there and they talked about how now the Taliban are our friends and they're going to guarantee security in Kabul. That was shortly before the Taliban allowed ISIS-K to simply blow up 13 American soldiers and kill hundreds of Afghan civilians who are attempting to escape their clutches. They've now killed presumably tens of thousands of those people. It turns out that trusting terrorists, either you're a moron to trust terrorists, which, you know, people are very stupid, or there's something else going on, which is you believe, as Barack Obama once suggested, that the reason that people become terrorists is because of Western exploitation and evil. That it's all blowback. That's the deeply held belief of the army of losers that you see in Malmo. And it seems to be a belief with an increasing level of credibility inside Democratic circles. It does also lead to bizarre, bizarre gaps in public relations like this. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, investing in your future, that's not something that you should put off. You should be getting started on that like right now. That's why I'm always looking for new ways to diversify my own portfolio. When I first started my business, I knew I had to be smart by putting my cash somewhere where it has the potential to grow and work for me. Robinhood changed the investment landscape and pioneered commission-free stock trading. Today, they offer innovative products to over 23 million funded customers to help users build a better financial future. With Robinhood, you're in the driver's seat. You have complete autonomy to make investments toward your future goals. Whether you're interested in long-term investing or trying to beat inflation, Robinhood has the tools to help you pursue those goals. Robinhood could help you build a better financial future. Download the Robinhood app or visit Robinhood.com. With a gold membership, you could earn 5% APY on uninvested cash, get bigger instant deposits, and get access to professional research from Morningstar and real-time market data, plus a lot of other features. Download that Robinhood app or visit Robinhood.com. That's Robinhood.com, or download the app right now to learn more. Investing involves risks and returns are not guaranteed. Other fees may apply. Robinhood Gold is offered through Robinhood Financial LLC as a subscription offering premium services for a fee. Terms apply to the APY. Rate is subject to change. More info in the description of the podcast. So yesterday, Joe Biden literally tweeted out, quote, on my watch, when we make promises, we keep them and we leave no one behind. That's an insane tweet. He literally just cut off arms to an American ally seeking to free American hostages. And he says, we leave no one behind other than the thousands of American citizens in Afghanistan, other than allies in Ukraine, other than allies in Israel, other than hostages in the Gaza Strip. He doesn't leave anybody behind. You know who used to know about this? A guy named Joe Biden, circa 2019. So here was Joe Biden 2019 saying, we can't just cut off military aid to an ally.
News this week, to the extent that some of the Democrats are saying that if, because of Israel's settlements policy, that they would look at cutting off military aid to Israel as a result of that.
That'd be a tragic mistake. I strongly oppose Israel's settlement policy on the West Bank. I've made that clear to Bibi when I was vice president. I made it crystal clear to the Israelis. But the idea that we would cut off military aid to an ally, our only true, true ally in the entire region, is absolutely preposterous. It's just beyond my comprehension anyone would do that.
Yes, that is beyond comprehension. Senator Biden from 2019. So what changed? The answer is that Joe Biden, when we talk about him being a coward, it's not just that he's a moral coward. He's also a political coward. Joe Biden's entire career is he holds his finger in the wind of the Democratic Party and then tries to put himself directly in the center of where he thinks the Democrats are. So sadly, what this indicates is that Joe Biden actually believes that the center of the Democratic Party is an alliance with the army of losers. By the way, he used to think this sort of stuff was an impeachable offense. Here's a Biden tweet from 2019. Quote, President Trump withheld congressionally appropriated aid to Ukraine unless they granted him a political favor. It's the definition of quid pro quo. This is no joke. Trump continues to put his own personal political interest ahead of the national interest. He must be impeached. Well, one could say the same of a president of the United States desperately attempting to buy off pro-Hamas voters in the army of losers by cutting off military aid to an ally in the middle of a war to extirpate Hamas. By the way, it is, again, it will never cease to be a source of amazement to me that there are people from the White House, who are literally saying that Hamas ought to show moral courage. Here's the kind of moral courage Hamas has shown. This is a clip of a top-ranking member of Hamas asked on Arabic TV about their greatest achievement in ruling the Gaza Strip for the last 17 years. Here is the answer.
You
have been in the Gaza Strip for 17 years, asked the reporter on Al Arabiya. What have you accomplished for the people? You have served five wars. We are now in the most violent war we are currently witnessing. What are Hamas's national achievements? He says it means non-demanding, all national achievements. I will tell you the achievements of October 7th. First, it brought the Palestinian issue back into the spotlight. The achievement is October 7th. That is the achievement. That is the goal. October 7th is the culmination, he says. The October 7th operation could not have been carried out had it not been for the fact that there was resistance that built itself. If there was a security authority like PA inside the Gaza Strip in the West Bank, the resistance would have been suppressed. The Palestinians could not defend themselves. They want, like Sabri and Shatila, the Palestinian forces withdrew. And they executed a massacre in Sabra and Shatila. He is talking there about Christian phalangists massacring Palestinians in Sabra and Shatila in the early 1980s. Okay, so the major achievement of Hamas that they brag about is October 7th. And the White House is calling on them for moral courage. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, I've been recently telling you about the greatest invention, maybe of all time, the pod cover by 8sleep. Well, today, I want to share some exciting news. The pod just got an upgrade. 8sleep has launched its newest generation, the Pod 4 Ultra. The Pod 4 Ultra not only cools and heats automatically, it now also elevates at your command. This high-tech marvel is clinically proven to give you up to 1 hour more quality sleep every night. A precious extra hour we could all use. I know. You might be wondering how this could get any better. Well, for those snore-heavy nights, the pod can actually detect your snoring and then automatically lift your head by a few degrees to improve airflow and stop you or your partner snoring. I've been using 8sleep for a few weeks now. I'm still floored by the results. Gone are the nights of tossing and turning or getting up in the middle of the night to adjust the thermostat. Reclaim your sleep by going to 8sleep.com/Shapiro. Use code Shapiro to get $350 off the Pod 4 Ultra. 8sleep is currently shipping to the US, Canada, UK, Europe, and Australia. Visit 8sleep.com/Shapiro. Again, that's 8sleep.com/Shapiro. Use code Shapiro today. That's 8sleep.com/Shapiro. Now, speaking of moral cowardice, just in case you thought that Joe Biden's cutoff on military aid to Israel in the middle of this war is just like a general cutoff on military aid, wrong. Literally the day before the Biden administration announced that they would withhold weapons from Israel, they issued a sanctions waiver to allow arms sales to Qatar and Lebanon, both proxy states of Iran. The Washington Free Beacon learned that on Tuesday, the State Department informed Congress it intends to bypass laws that bar the United States from selling weapons to nations that boycott Israel. The Biden administration extended the waiver through April 30th, 2025 to Qatar and Lebanon, which is basically an Iranian-backed Hezbollah-controlled state. So the United States is currently sending weaponry to the people attempting to destroy the state of Israel. But they won't give the weaponry to Israel to get rid of Hamas. Now, again, why is this happening? Because the Democratic Party is shot through with radicals. For example, the director of intelligence and defense programs in the U.S. National Security Council is a person named Maher Bitar. He was already appointed by the Obama administration, where he managed the Israeli-Palestinian case. Before that, He was a member of Students for Justice in Palestine, which is a terror-backing group at Georgetown University. In 2007, he worked for the UNRWA, which is a Palestinian Hamas-led proxy group. That is an advisor to Joe Biden right now. Now, this is precipitating a clash inside the Democratic Party, as well it should. You have radicals like Senator Chris Van Hollen, who's been awful throughout, who says, this isn't political. We should be withholding offensive aid.
So my view is that the United States should not be transferring offensive weapons to the Netanyahu government.
Zero.
Until and unless, let me be very clear, until and unless the president has assurances that the U.S. values and U.S. interests are met. And the president's been very clear about that. You know, my view is that this cannot be just a blank check to the Netanyahu government. If you're going to have a partnership, which we have, it has to be a two-way street. It cannot be a situation where the president makes reasonable requests and those requests are repeatedly ignored by the Netanyahu government and then expect the United States just to provide a blank check.
Well, that is one perspective inside the Democratic Party. The other comes courtesy of a bunch of other Democrats. So Joe Biden is splitting his own party over this. He tried to play both sides, and now he's splitting both sides of his own party. Senator Jackie Rosen, Democrat of Nevada, said, quote, we need to provide Israel with the unconditional security assistance it needs to defend itself. And that demonstrates our unwavering support, particularly as Iran and its proxies escalate their attacks. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut said, I don't know what the president meant. I haven't seen what the actual operation Rafah is. I certainly hope we'll continue to provide support militarily and diplomatically that Israel needs to defend itself. Senator Fetterman, who has been the surprise of the season, he said this was all deeply disappointing. Then there are the quote-unquote moderates like Ben Cardin, you know, just cowards, who won't weigh in. I'm having conversations with the administration on this, he said. But Representative Jared Golden, Democrat of Maine, he says the president's actions signal weakness to Hamas, to our allies and adversaries abroad and at home. Representative Brad Schneider, Democrat of Illinois, I'm deeply concerned about the administration's recent decision. I fear the U.S. is sending dangerous mixed messages, not just to the government and people of Israel, but also to Hamas. So Joe Biden is successfully breaking apart his own party. Comedian Michael Rappaport, a lifelong Democrat, came out yesterday and basically unendorsed Joe Biden over this. There will be consequences to Joe Biden doing what he is doing right now politically.
And you dumb old you have the you bet old you. You're not sending weapons to Israel during a war while American hostages and hostages from 22 countries are still in that. You're not sending weapons now, you dumb. Let me tell you something. I never, ever, ever thought I would say this. Okay, but I could promise you this right now. Smoking Joe Biden, cadaver Joe Biden, me, Michael Rappaport, I'm not voting for you. You're not getting my vote. And plenty of us also ain't voting for you, you.
And he's not the only one, and he ain't wrong. Meanwhile, President Trump is responding to all this as he should. He says this is disgraceful. He's abandoning Israel. Of course, President Trump is totally right.
What Biden is doing with respect to Israel is disgraceful. If any Jewish person voted for Joe Biden, they should be ashamed of themselves. He's totally abandoned Israel, and nobody can believe it. I guess he feels good about it because he did it as a political decision. You have to do the right decision, not the political decision.
He's right about that. Senator Tom Cotton is saying, hey, listen, you guys impeached Donald Trump of removal of aid to Ukraine temporarily. This is an impeachable offense.
Now, some people say Joe Biden is doing this for his reelection, which would be bad enough. It would also, I have to add, be grounds for impeachment under the Democrats' Trump-Ukraine standard. Withholding foreign aid to help one's reelection. Only with Joe Biden, it's true.
He's right about that. Meanwhile, points to Brian Mast for the way that he dealt with this code pink protester. Brian Mast is representative from down here in Florida, who served in the American military and lost both legs in war. Here he was.
Now that Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire, do you think Israel should agree?
I think Israel should go in there and kick the
Just absolutely destroy them, their infrastructure, level anything that they touch. Fair enough?
Yep. Well, meanwhile, the New York Times is trying to save Joe Biden from himself, because even the New York Times is realizing this is a bad political boo-boo for Joe Biden. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, a very special message from our friend Adam Carolla.
Catch the series premiere of Mr. Burcham this Sunday, 9 o'clock, 8 Central, exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. Episode 1 is streaming for free, so no excuses, people. Mr. Burcham is decades in the making, and now it's showtime.
Let me be clear. Like me, wood doesn't care about your feelings. If you hurt wood, wood will hurt you back. Wood doesn't discriminate. Wood's only true enemy is the donkey. Bentley.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Pee before class, donkey.
Remember Mr. Burcham's series premiere this Sunday, 9 o'clock, 8 Central. Stream it free only on Daily Wire Plus.
Meanwhile, the New York Times is recognizing that Joe Biden is splitting his own party, that he's made a big boo-boo. So what do? They run a headline today called, quote, "How Republicans Echo Anti-Semitic Tropes Despite Declaring Support for Israel." So, in other words, yes, Israel is now being supported by the Republican Party. And sure, Joe Biden just undercut Israel in a totally unprecedented way. What he's doing right now is even worse than what Barack Obama did, which is something I never thought I was going to say. Because Barack Obama was legitimately the worst president in my lifetime, and certainly for the state of Israel. And Joe Biden has surpassed him. Joe Biden is clown show moral disaster. So what is the New York Times doing? They're saying, well, secretly, even though the Republicans are really supportive of Israel and want to see Hamas extra, secretly, they're the real anti-Semites. Because you see, what anti-Semitism is about for the New York Times is pretending that you like Seinfeld, having a bagel every so often, and then going and marching with Hamas. That's what Judaism really, it's social justice warrioring, you see. It's tikkun olam. If you just say the magical tikkun olam reconstructionist Judaism nonsense, and then you go out there and you bash Israel and call for its extirpation and destruction, then that's the real, J Street is the real Judaism, don't you see? Students, like, if not now, those are the real Jews. But you know, like, those are the people who really love, the people who love the Jews are the far leftists who want Israel destroyed. They're standing for the real Judaism. But the right wingers who like Israel and want it to preserve itself and back the Jews in Israel, those people are secretly anti-Semitic. You know why? Because they once made a reference to George Soros on their Twitter, even though George Soros is one of the people backing the campaign against Israel. So the New York Times, this entire piece is predicated on the idea that secretly the real anti-Semites are all the people who openly support the Jews. So for example, in a July 2023 email to supporters, the Trump campaign employed an image that bears striking resemblance to a Nazi-era cartoon of a hook-nosed puppet master manipulating world figures. George Soros as puppet master, pulling the strings controlling President Biden. Okay, number one, George Soros is a major contributor to Joe Biden's campaign and to all of the things that are very radical on the left. Number two, the attempt to paint Donald Trump as the anti-Semite in this race is so insane considering what Joe Biden is doing right now. But they got to try something, obviously. They got to try something. So again, the idea here is that Rashida Tlaib isn't the real anti-Semite. The real anti-Semite is people who vote in favor of Israel, but posted something awkward about George Soros like 5 years ago on Twitter. That's the real problem. That ain't going to work. And meanwhile, for Israel's part, Israel has been increasing its operations gradually and steadily in Rafah. It looks like they're trying to draw a middle path that basically gives Biden a way out of this self-created political gunshot wound. What they're doing is they're going in slowly to Rafah, it appears, as opposed to sort of an overwhelming invasion. This allows Biden to suggest that this is not a full-scale, quote, invasion of the population centers. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he says, listen, if it really comes down to it, we'll stand alone. Which, by the way, any sovereign country is going to say that, as they should. Here's the Prime Minister.
80 years ago, in the Holocaust, the Jewish people were totally defenseless against those who sought our destruction. No nation came to our aid. Today, we again confront enemies bent on our destruction. I say to the leaders of the world, no amount of pressure, no decision by any international forum will stop Israel from defending itself. As the Prime Minister of Israel, the one and only Jewish state, I pledge here today from Jerusalem on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, if Israel is forced to stand alone, Israel will stand alone.
And meanwhile, Joe Biden and his reelect efforts here, the reason he's becoming more and more radical and more desperate is because he's in really, really bad shape, electorally speaking here. I mean, the polls for him are just brutal. The latest polls show Donald Trump up nationally. They show Donald Trump up in every single swing state, in all of them. Even the polls that are showing Joe Biden up are within margin of error. When you go to the state level, Joe Biden is now losing slightly in Wisconsin, heavily in Arizona, heavily in Georgia, slightly in Michigan, slightly in Pennsylvania, heavily in North Carolina, heavily in Nevada. And it doesn't look like things are getting better here. So Joe Biden is now lying about the economy and also doing the routine. You know you're losing when you have to tell the American people that their feelings are wrong. So yesterday, Joe Biden, in this same CNN interview, this disastrous CNN interview, he claimed that inflation was at 9% when he took over. That is wrong. Inflation was at 1.4% when he took over. He quickly spiked it to well over 9%.
No president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%.
Nope, it wasn't. And he was asked by Aaron Burnett about inflation. His answer was, don't worry, people have a lot of money. They can spend it now. That is not comforting to people because their wages have not kept up with inflation for full on 3 years at this point.
More in food and groceries than they have at any time, really, in the past 30 years. I mean, that's a real day-to-day pain that people
feel. It really is. And it's real. But the fact is that if you take a look at what the people have, they have the money to spend. It angers them and angers me that you have to spend more.
Okay. Good luck to you with this message. Even CNN's John King was like, maybe you don't want to tell the American people they have enough money to afford your garbage inflation.
In Michigan, we met with those younger voters. We also are starting to put together a group of auto workers. Mm-hmm. Their union has endorsed Biden. Most of them are going to vote for Biden. But you ask them what life is like, and they can't buy a bigger house because of mortgage rates. They still, when you talk about grocery prices. Right. And so the president has to be careful here. That sounds like somebody in Washington telling people you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And whatever your party is, voters don't process it that way. They don't like that.
And that is correct, obviously. One great indicator that Joe Biden is in serious trouble here is that many of his political allies are now abandoning him. So, for example, Sherrod Brown, who is in a rough race in Ohio, right? Sherrod Brown has won fairly easy re-election a couple of times in Ohio. Well, now he's in real trouble. He is planning to back a Congressional Review Act resolution to overturn the Biden administration's rules implementing the electric vehicle tax credit, according to Politico. Brown, who's facing a tight re-elect race in a manufacturing-heavy state, blasted the domestic content rules after they were finalized last week as too lenient on China and stripping jobs away from Ohio. When you're getting abandoned by your red state, purple state senators, you got a problem. And meanwhile, Joe Biden's solution to this is to shovel more money out the door. According to Axios, Joe Biden is attempting desperately to find projects to spend his $1 trillion on. You remember that Inflation Reduction Act that involved spending $1 trillion? Well, it turns out there aren't enough things to spend it on. So he's just going to shovel that money out anyway. Apparently, out of $1.1 trillion for direct investments in energy and infrastructure, less than 17% of the funds have been spent. So he's still trying to find ways to shovel money into an overheated economy. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. He's running. This is the worst reelect campaign I have seen in my lifetime. If Joe Biden wins this election, he's going to have to turn things around pretty dramatically. It's hard to see how he does that, considering that he's no longer alive. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, given what's going on in the news these days, getting a good night's sleep, well, that's rough. I've personally experienced how a bad night's sleep can wreck your entire next day. Well, producer Savvy has been in the same boat. She's tried a bunch of sleep products. Some have helped her fall asleep, but she's either wide awake in the middle of the night or groggy and dependent on caffeine the next day. Well, with Beam Dream, an all-natural nighttime drink blend that's improved 15 million nights of sleep, she's now able to fall asleep faster, stay asleep, and wake up energized for the show. Beam Dream Powder contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, epigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and then wake up refreshed. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder. It's their science-backed healthy nighttime for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Using Beam Dream, it's as easy as can be. You just mix it into a comforting cup of hot water or milk. You give it a good stir or froth, and you savor the soothing blend before you drift off to sleep. It's a simple, enjoyable ritual that can make a world of difference to your sleep quality. Don't waste another night battling the bedtime blues. Head on out and get Beam today. Your weary self will thank you. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, take advantage of 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Ben. Use code Ben at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Ben with my promo code Ben for up to 40% off your order. Okay, guys, so you know that Mr. Bertram is coming out on the 12th. We're just days away from the premiere of Mr. Bertram over at Daily Wire Plus. So Adam Carolla is stopping by the show, currently hosts the Adam Carolla Show, of course, and he is the creator and star of the brand new Daily Wire Plus animated series, Mr. Bertram. Adam, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So first off, congrats on the project. This is a project that's been like 30 years in the making. So what is the origin of Mr. Bertram?
In 1994, I was a boxing coach. I was training Jimmy Kimmel to box, Jimmy the sports guy back then, for K-Rock Radio for a morning stunt. He thought I was funny. He said, I think I can get you on the radio, but you got to come up with a character. I said, I don't do characters. He said, you better come up with one. And I came up with a character called Mr. Bertram 30 years ago on K-Rock Radio in Los Angeles for the morning show. And it immediately became insanely popular. And that was how I got into show business.
So let's talk about the character of Mr. Bertram and what he was and sort of what he represents in the show. And then I want to hear you tell the story about, like, this is not the first iteration of Mr. Bertram as an animated series. We'll get into that in a moment. But who is Mr. Bertram? What was the character? Why did it become so popular?
He's an amalgamation of every mean shop teacher I had in junior high. I went to Walter Reed Junior High, and I had Mr. Gage and Mr. Smith and all these horrible shop teachers. They were angry guys with big mustaches and big forearms who loved woodworking and hated kids. And even as a 13 or 14-year-old, I thought it was interesting that these guys went to school every day to work with kids but hated kids. They loved their shop, and they looked at it as their shop, and the kids were sort of a nuisance and an annoyance who were coming in, who were using their tools. That's sort of the approach for every shop teacher I had. And so as I went through life, I would tell people, did you ever have a mean shop teacher? And they'd go, oh, mine was the worst, you know. I started realizing that everyone had a shared experience of horrible, mean shop teachers. And I thought, I've never seen an SNL sketch about a mean shop teacher. No one has captured this guy, but I'll capture him. And that's where Mr. Bertram was born.
So you proposed this and you actually made a pilot episode of Mr. Bertram like 20 years ago. And it was nearly greenlit by the networks. And then they decided effectively that it was too politically incorrect even then. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was a little over 10 years ago. I did the pilot for Fox, which is called an animatic for those who are keeping score. And it was good, and it was Bertram, and it was probably a little ahead of its time, but it was what I was seeing when I was seeing it. As you and your generous dad know, I wrote a book called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, and that book's about 15 years old, but 15 years ago, I was sort of seeing which way the wind was blowing from a societal standpoint. And I thought, this is something we got to get into. But I was the only one who wanted to get into it. No one else wanted to get into it. And so it was like too early for Fox. And, you know, Fox was doing Bob's Burgers and crap like that.
So now we're bringing it to the small screen over at Daily Wire Plus, May 12th, 2024, and it's got a huge cast. I mean, you've really put together an amazing cast here, from Rob Riggle to Patrick Warburton to Roseanne Barr and Danny Trejo. How'd you get this cast together?
They're mostly just people I've worked with over the years and socialized with over the years and became friends with over the years and thought, you know, this guy would be good for this role and that guy would be great for that role. And I knew they were all pros, and I knew they were all really good, and they all just hit it out of the ballpark. I was surprised how spot on everyone was in the casting department. So just calling in favors with old friends.
Well, the show, again, is going to come out this Sunday, and it is about a no-nonsense shop teacher who's attempting to navigate Teddy Roosevelt Junior High with his family, faced with all of the political correctness that you would imagine plus a fanatical social justice warrior named Carponzi. It's hilarious. You should totally check it out. Adam, congrats on the show, and I'm sure people can't wait to see it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ben. And yeah, you will not be disappointed if you watch Mr. Burcham.
Adam, really appreciate it. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, folks, in other huge news, a cat custody battle has erupted in Nashville, Tennessee. On the line, we now have the judge in that case, Matt Walsh, the host of the Daily Wire Plus series, judged by Matt Walsh. So, Judge Walsh, your honor, I know this is a vital case, I think, to the future of America. I've heard a few details, but I'd love your take on a cat custody battle that, wow, just, okay, just go.
Mr. Shapiro, you sound like you're not taking the case seriously to begin with. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, I mean, yes, Your Honor, you are correct in the assumption that I could not possibly care less about a cat custody battle.
This is a cat, and it's a custody battle between two people. In fact, in this case, this is, I believe, two roommates. And, you know, it's a very interesting case because it has to do with the cat and also to do with the name of the cat. So there's a dispute over what the cat is named. And you have the plaintiff in the case. And that's the one, I believe, that actually brings the lawsuit. And then you have the defendant in the case, who's the one who's getting sued, essentially. I don't want to get too particular with all the legalese and that sort of thing. But you have one person who says that the cat should be named Midnight, another one that says the cat should be named Pepsi. Now I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that, but you know, this is a courtroom, and we have to come up with very creative ways sometimes of dealing with these sorts of issues. So we may bring the cat into the courtroom, release the cat in the courtroom, let the cat decide who has custody of it.
Mm.
You still don't sound interested at all.
I mean, what would have been interesting is if you had used the Bible as your guide and actually offered to just carve the cat in half and then see what the reactions of the plaintiff and defendant were.
I
guess that's animal cruelty and illegal.
I did, in fact, suggest that. That suggestion was made. I was informed that for various reasons, both moral and legal, that option would not be allowed. As much as I would have loved doing that, it was not allowed.
Well, I mean, that is a sad story. Well, you know, since I have you here, Judge Walsh, in all of your legal expertise, I do have to ask your opinion of the hottest legal battle of our time, Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump. So apparently that's a thing that's actually happening in our country right now, is that the former president of the United States and possible future president is being brought up on charges having to do with campaign finance reform, which seems more like just an excuse for a porn star to kind of read her penthouse letters aloud. But I wanted to get your legal take on this situation.
In my courtroom, we deal with very petty issues, petty cases. There's really no case that's too petty for the Judge Walsh courtroom. But this case, actually, I say there's no case that's too petty. This case actually might be even too petty for me. Of course, it's completely ridiculous. And, you know, on top of that, it's like we're supposed to believe that Donald Trump is the first president in history who's ever paid someone to make a story, to make an unflattering story go away, which is basically what he's being accused of here. As I've been saying all along with this case, it's like the only way you could get away with actually charging him with a crime here is if we are, it's like basically if we're in a spot where every single ex-president is charged, if we just find some sort of crime to charge them with and throw them all in jail, I could actually be in favor of that. Like that's a system that I might be okay with. But, you know, we're not doing that. Of course, like Donald Trump is the only president we've done this to, which is what I think makes it terribly unfair. But as I said, I would be in favor of, if we want to just make this what we do from now on, where if you become president, you automatically have to go to jail afterwards. Like that's an interesting system. We could, that's something worth thinking about, I think.
Well, folks, tune in to the latest episode of Judge to hear the verdict on this deeply important cat custody case. Keep checking back every week for exciting new cases premiering Tuesdays exclusively at Daily Wire Plus. Judge Walsh, I had heard actually a rumor that season two, you'll be given the power over criminal law, not just civil law. So I'm very much looking forward to the penalties that you'll be dealing out in season two of Judge.
I had not heard that, but that makes me very excited. One, I don't want to give any spoilers away for this, but we are talking about one addition in season two is finally adding the powdered wig. So I've been pushing for it, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, as one would as an American judge, because that's something that they do in America. In any case, check out Matt Walsh, Judged by Matt Walsh. Alrighty, guys, the rest of the show continues right now. We'll be getting into a new segment we call Ben After Dark. Ooh. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.